Take your Bibles, please, this morning. Turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, please. We're going to read one verse from John chapter 1 this morning. And as our custom is, when we read just one verse, I'll read aloud the first time through, you along silently. And then we'll read together in unison a second time through. All right, as you're finding your place, if you're able this morning, please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now let's read together, please. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Father, we do thank You. The message and song was so powerful this morning, I feel. We truly didn't know who You were. God, help us this morning to learn about You, hear about You, and apply it in our lives this morning. Do a work in our midst this Christmas Eve morning. I pray for our pastor that You would anoint him with Thy Holy Spirit as he comes and as he preaches the Word of God from this text. Now, Father, as it's been prayed already this morning, and I emphasize it again, if there's someone in this room, or there's someone listening on the internet this morning that does not know this Jesus, I pray they would trust Him this morning for their salvation, for heaven. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, you need to keep your Bibles open very carefully. Today we're going to move a few times in Scripture, so stay with us. At the end of the service this morning, Martinez, kids, where are you at? I'm going to have you sing at the end of service this morning, okay? That's when we'll take the second offering we didn't take. Never mind. So we'll have you come, and then we'll show you a little video I want you to see today, and we'll be dismissed. Christmas time. It's time to talk about a babe in a manger. It's time to talk about how there was no room for them in the inn. It's time to talk about shepherds watching over their flocks at night. And an angel appeared to them with a message, and then an angelic host to come to reinforce that message. It's time to talk about Joseph and Mary and their important part in this account of Christmas. Hey, not story. Stories could be fictional, non-fictional. This happened. Jesus Christ came to be with us. That's what Christmas is about. And we'll read Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 1 and go over the accounts of Scripture about Christ's birth and His coming to be with us and that sort of thing. Now this morning, I want to take a few points. I'm going to tell you how many points, so if you're a point counting Baptist, you'll know when we're about done. 3 points. I'll go to 3 different Scriptures this morning, but these Scriptures are the Scriptures about Christ coming to be with us that we don't normally associate with Christmas. Not trying to be different, just trying to make you understand. There is something more to this thing about Jesus coming here, Jesus being born, Jesus coming into this world. There is something more to that than what we normally associate with Christmas. See, for a lot of people, look at me. For a lot of people, a baby in a manger, in a stable, to a simple middle class, you want to call them that, simple, a poor family. I mean, that happens all across the world, been happening all across the world. And for people to celebrate it as Christ's birth and talk about Christmas time, Christmas means Christ sent is what it means. For people to think about that's fine. But I'm afraid what we're doing is this. Now look, I'm afraid we're missing the fact that this is much bigger than just Jesus' birth. Much bigger than a babe in a manger. That's a feeding trough, by the way. In a stable, and a simple mother, Mary, and his stepfather, Joseph. Joseph was not Jesus' father. There's something more to it than that. And these Scriptures today, 3 simple Scriptures, one of them I think will be very familiar to most of you. They are the ones we would not normally associate with Christmas time, but we should. Because they tell us something else about Christ's birth that we need to know. John chapter 1 and verse 14 this morning. 3 points. Point one. We're going pretty quick, aren't we? Are you getting excited? Okay, good. John chapter 1. Dominic was telling, my grandson was telling me today, well, Gramps, you don't want to preach long and lose the audience. And so I don't want to lose the audience this morning, so stay with me. grandchildren, out of the mouth of babes, yes, even though he's 11. Anyhow, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Do you normally think of that at Christmas time? Maybe you get around the Christmas tree or you get around with your family and you read the Christmas account in the Bible. You ever read John chapter 1? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, the word here is not a vocabulary word. This is a person. Look in John chapter 1, back to the verse 1 of chapter 1, please. Look there carefully with me this morning. And in the beginning was the Word. You notice that it's capitalized in your Bibles. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That word is not a word. That's a person. And the person is verse number 17. Look at it. It says, for law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The Word is Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. So when you see, when we look at a babe in a manger and we think about a stable and no room in the inn and Joseph and Mary and then the wise men coming later and then the shepherds in the fields that night and they get the message and they come and find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, all of that's wonderful because it's true. It's exactly the way the Bible says it happened. But know this morning. The Bible also tells us Christ's birth was this. The Word was God. God there, verse 1, chapter 1. The Word is a person and He's God. And God came to be, that's why in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18, it says that one of the names given Christ at birth was Emmanuel, God with us. That's why it was reinforced the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah 7 and verse 14. And a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, and he will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Yes, that's Christmas stuff, folks. Good Christmas stuff. It means that God came to be with us. Now think about that for just a moment. So it's more than just a babe in a manger. God came to be with us. So it's more than just about a stable and no room in the inn and shepherds in the fields and all of that. That's all good. But listen to me carefully. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God left heaven and came to this earth and allowed Himself to be planted miraculously by the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit of God in the virgin womb of Mary. And she not only conceived as a virgin by the Spirit of God, she gave birth as a virgin by the work of the Spirit of God. And He is God in human flesh, Jesus Christ. Now listen to me, don't limit Him as a baby. Understand who He is, what it means. It means the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now here's what that means. It means God came to be with us. So that must be what we needed. God came to be with us. It means God came to be with us. It means it would be what we would need. A good man would come to this earth. No, God would come to this earth. You know why, ladies and gentlemen? Because what we need more than anything else as far as God is concerned, that this time of Christ's birth proves is this. We need a Savior. And it needed to, listen to me, and that salvation that God would provide for us came from God to us. Listen, not from man to God, from God to us. All across America today on this Christmas Eve, Sunday morning services, churches are having their services this morning. And most of those churches, unfortunately, are going to be churches that are going to try to tell people that you have to work your way to God. You got to get baptized. You got to join a church. You got to live a good life. You got to do good deeds. You got to do this. It's what you do that determines whether or not He will accept you. But the Bible teaches us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That means God sent us Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God the Son, to be our Savior, which tells us that salvation comes from God to man, not man to God. By the way, that was reinforced at Jesus' crucifixion. When He died, the Bible says, when He gave His life on the cross, that's why He came. was to go to the cross to pay for our sins, the only sin debt that could be paid and the only one God will accept. When Jesus died upon the cross and cried out, "It is finished," and dismissed his spirit and gave his life, the Bible says in that temple, with a veil that was between the holy place and the holy of holies place, that veil between the temple so thick that they could run a yoke of oxen into it and not even move it, that veil was ripped, and the Bible says, very carefully, ripped from the top to the bottom. God in heaven reached down and said, "No more of the sacrifices. No more of the approaching God through this. No more of that. And from me to you, this is what I do. I open the door today." And he swung it open. Oh, that's why Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God himself came. And our greatest need must be a Savior, because he didn't send us a politician. Thank God. He didn't send us a politician. He didn't send us a military leader. He didn't send us an educator. He sent us a Savior. That must be our great need. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's just as much a part of the Christmas account in the Bible as anything else that you see or know. Number two, are you staying with me? Number two, have I lost my audience yet? You're staying with me. Good. John 3:16. Do you even have to look it up? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, I've preached on that before, called it a sermon a couple times, called John 3:16 time. That's what Christmas is about. But you know something? That's just about as much about Christmas as three wise men coming from the east to bring gifts to Jesus. That's just as much Christmas, about Christmas time and about Christ's birth, as anything else, as the stable and the manger and the shepherds and Joseph and Mary. It's just as much about that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Greatest gift ever given. Bible calls it an unspeakable gift. Have you ever received an unspeakable gift? You probably will somewhere. You'll open it and you'll go, "I don't know what to say about that." You may have given a few unspeakable gifts in your life. You ever get even with somebody about the gift? Never mind. Anyway, you ever give something to someone and they look at it and say, "I gave it to them last year. Matter of fact, that is the gift I gave them last year." And you re-gifted and didn't know it. You need to write some things down. Be careful. That's not the unspeakable gift. Unspeakable in the Bible simply means this. No words to describe it. You know where that comes from? Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called," what? You know what wonderful means? It means unspeakable. It means with difficulty to express it. My people and my grandmother and my people had, she used that expression all the time. Everything to her was wonderful. And if it was something special, it was really wonderful. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God so loved us that he gave us this unspeakable gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. And God in his human form came. Now, if you don't know your Bible very well, let me help you with something. It doesn't mean God, there was no God in heaven and then there was Jesus. See, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We call it the Trinity or the Triune God. Part of that Trinity, member of that Trinity is God the Son. So God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in communion and agreement decided that man's need was that a Savior would come to pay for man's sins. But you see, you couldn't send a man to pay for man's sins because we're all sinners. Agreed? One more time. I said agreed? Okay, just making sure I still got my audience. Now stay with me. Do you know the truth of the matter is agreed? Yes, that's right. So you see, man can't pay for man's sins. That's why man can't forgive you of your sins. That's why you can't go to someone else for your forgiveness and they can grant that to you. We can't give you forgiveness. Nobody's church can give you forgiveness. It isn't allowed. Man cannot do that. You see, you have to be a perfect substitute to grant forgiveness, and there's only been one perfect substitute who ever walked this earth, and that was Jesus Christ. So God, in triune agreement, decided that God the Son would come, and so he so loved us. He so loved us. that he gave us his son. He so loved us, he gave us an unspeakable gift. He so loved us that he provided salvation through Jesus Christ. He so loved us that he gave. You see, that's the whole point of what real giving is all about, is the great love expressed behind it. John 3:16 is about Christ's birth. And it's that God so loved us. It's that God gave so much to us. And that God gave to us, listen, my friend, God then gave to us, since he gave us his son, he gave us the only hope of eternal life. That's what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, please listen, believing in Jesus doesn't mean a mental assent of some facts. Believing him means trusting in Christ. It means enough belief to put your faith and confidence in the eternal life and hope for heaven in Jesus Christ and him alone. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, not get, not hope for, not plan on it, not work at it, have. That means right now, have, present tense, own and possess eternal life. Why? Because he so loved us. That's what brought me to my salvation as a boy. Two things. Number one, that God loved me. Growing up in a drunkard's home, the first time I ever heard that somebody really loved me, I knew my mother loved me. My stepfather was a drunk and a guy that beat on people. I knew he didn't care for us all. He told us he hated us. He told us he hated us. And he beat my mother and he beat us as children. When I sat in a Sunday school class for the first time and I heard that God loved me, that God loved me, I have to tell you something. That struck a chord in my heart. You say, well, Pastor John says, see, I've been through stuff in my childhood and I'm mad at God because I don't know how he could. No, maybe you took it wrong. I don't take that the wrong way to me. I never held against God what people do. I just learned a long time ago, you can't do that. God so loved. When they told me that, I just sit there and I was, even as a boy, a little boy, I was amazed that God loved me. 9 years old. Now I'm 64 years of age. 55 years later, guess what? I'm still amazed God loves me. I don't ever want to get over it. For God so loved. And he so loved, he gave to us the person who could give us and give us the only hope we could have of eternal life. You take John 3:16 as a Christmas verse. You should. And it reminds you that God loved you so much he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to give you salvation and eternal life. But now listen, just as he had to come and be received here, you must receive him now. You must put your faith and trust in Christ. No one has salvation just because they believe in Jesus or because he's provided it. Everyone has salvation. No. There is no universal salvation. There's individual, personal salvation. Each and every one of us must make a decision. Will you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and trust him alone for that salvation? But see, to me, to turn him down is to like have someone look at you, show you, tell you how much they love you, show you how much they love you, and then just turn and walk away. Like it just doesn't matter. For God so loved the world. He did that for you and me today. John 3:16 is a good verse. Good news. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, please, this morning, would you? Because we're about to go to point 3. Point 3. If you're a point count Baptist, how many points are there? See, you knew that. You say that quicker than you did anything else in the sermon. All right, good. Philippians chapter 2. See, Pastor, do you have to be sarcastic all the time? And the answer is yes. Okay, good. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. You ever read this verse and say, oh, that's a great Christmas verse? Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Watch verse 6, Philippians 2. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, Philippians 2, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 7, do you see that Christmas business there? Do you see the Christmas account? Jesus, the Bible said, who in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus wasn't taking anything upon himself when he claimed his deity. John chapter 8, I read it reading my Bible reading this morning. He told those Jews that he was the I Am, which to them helped them understand. He's Jehovah. He is the one. He never thought it robbery to claim that he was God in human flesh. He wasn't thinking he was taking something that wasn't his. You know what robbery is like, right? Congress, okay, never mind. So you get the point, not robbery to be equal with God. But verse 7 is the Christmas account. But made himself of no reputation. Look up here for a moment. Here's what that means. That means Jesus Christ was willing to set aside his rights and privileges as God the Son to come to this earth to take upon human flesh. Listen, to take upon human flesh, to be born, to walk this earth for 33 years just like us. He experienced every stage of life with the exception of the senior years, childhood, young life, teenager, young adult, an adult. He experienced every stage of life. He experienced every situation of life with the exception of one, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But Jesus knew what it was like to be tempted. He knew what it was like to be rejected. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He knew what it was like to have even something in his own family not understand him. He knew what it was like to tell people who he was and prove it and them still not believe him. See, he came. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. He came, and coming to this earth, he set aside the privileges as God Almighty. He didn't stop being God. He just set aside the rights. That's what reputation means. The rights of claiming, claiming the rights of your reputation. He set that aside. Now here's what's amazing about Philippians 2. He did all of that knowing that when he came, he would have to go to the cross, be crucified and become sin for us who knew no sin. We might be made the righteousness of God in him. He knew what he faced. He knew he'd have to face a howling mob. He knew he would have to be tried, convicted, declared guilty but innocent at the same trial. Six of those in less than 12 hours. He knew what he would face. He knew he faced the cat of nine tails and they'd beat him like an animal till you couldn't even tell he was a human being. And then make him carry his cross to Calvary. And then hang him naked in public in a place where criminals were executed. And then God would take the punishment and the penalty and the payment of sin and laid upon him, Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God. And he would die bearing those sins and go to the grave and then rise again 3 days later. He knew he faced all of that and he came anyway. See, the copy of that scripture you and I hold today, the original of that is in heaven. Christ knew it. He's the living Word of God. He knew what he faced before he came and he came anyway. Yeah. You look at that little baby's face. Imagine that little baby's face there in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, the rags of the poor people. Couldn't even be born in a decent place. Could not be laid in a decent place. Had to be laid in a feeding trough. Animals slobber all over this thing. In a stable, ladies and gentlemen, where animals live. He didn't even have a decent place to come when he came. But that's all right because that's where Jesus comes. He comes where he's received and accepted. And that's just the beginning of 33 homesick years that Jesus spent away from his home in heaven. Every Christmas season, I think about the times I was in the military and away from home. Some of the loneliest, most difficult Christmases I've ever had in my life. In a drunkard's home, I'll say one thing about in the drunkard's home. Everybody kind of made peace at Christmas. That's why to this day I still love Christmas. Because part of that reminds me as a boy, everybody just kind of made peace. They were fighting all the time and drunks and beating on one another and all kinds of crazy stuff. But at least at Christmas time, it seemed like everybody just sort of made peace. when they put that tree up and things went, and everything, it just seemed like everything was okay for a little bit. And it was, so to me, to this day, Christmas still evokes a peaceful time in my life and my mind. In those times I was away from home in the military. My last one was up in the Arctic in Greenland. We hadn't seen the sun in a month and a half. It was 50, some below zero that day. All the single guys got together on this little remote base up there in Greenland in the Arctic. Told all the married guys, you guys go home for Christmas. We'll stay here and fight off the enemy. And they did their best in the dining hall to make it nice for us at Christmas time. Big delicious meal and everything else. I had, my military job was an air traffic controller. I had three part-time jobs just to stay busy. You got a remote tour, there's nothing to do. And one of them was I was a disc jockey at the radio station. Now, some of you old-timers remember when they used to call records wax. My name's Johnson. So my show was called Johnson's Wax. Pretty snappy, huh? Some of you young people are going, what in the world is he talking about? Okay, never mind. Just never mind. Go home and look it up. Okay, Google it. The radio station, they told us when I had my job up there, they say, you can play all these Christmas songs, they're fine. There's one song you cannot play. I thought, what in the world is that one? I'll Be Home for Christmas. Don't play that song. You play it, everybody will cry, and it'll just be a mess. So don't play I'll Be Home for Christmas. So, oh yeah, Christmas Day, 50-some below zero. I hadn't seen the sun in a month and a half. Just 24-hour darkness. Walking in the dining hall, sitting down and eating the dining hall with a bunch of GIs, eating food. Just not much of what you call a Christmas. And I think about our soldiers, those men and women, they won't be home for Christmas, you know. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus was away from home for 33 years. Set aside rights and privileges, ceased to accept the adulation and worship that he knew in heaven. And not that he was selfish and desired it. He's God the Son. He deserves it. He's worthy. Believe me, if you don't know that, read Revelation. Believe me, he is worthy. All of that to come here to be with us. See, this Philippians 2 account reminds us that Jesus was willing to set aside his rights and privileges. Jesus was willing to come to be what we needed him to be. He not only left heaven to become flesh and dwell among us, he left heaven knowing what he would face, and he came anyway. And that's why God so loved the world. That's why we know that, that's why we're so certain that God loved us. He was so willing to do that for us. He was so willing to set himself aside. He was so willing to give up his rights and privileges. Shout that one across America today. Everybody wants their rights. Everybody wants their privileges. Like somehow or another you get to have them for nothing. No, they all come at a price. Every one of them. But he made himself of no reputation. And knowing what he faced, he came anyhow. See how much he loves you? Don't you see it? Don't you see how much he loves you? Don't you understand it? Doesn't it do something to your heart? Doesn't it at least move you beyond just the, well, I go to church on Sunday because it's Christmas and then, you know, I got other stuff to do. You don't mean to tell me you gave that up? I don't know anybody give up to what Jesus gave up. I don't know anyone who gave set aside what Jesus set aside in his life. He did that for you because that's what you needed. And my dear friend this morning, don't you realize, first of all, you need to know him as your personal Savior? Don't you understand then why it is that if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you go to hell when you die? Yeah, it's because of my awful sin. Well, the awfulest, the worst sin you could commit is to reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because of all that he did to provide you the gift of eternal life. And amazingly enough, ladies and gentlemen, just like you'll do at this Christmas season, you'll take and open a gift someone else purchased for you. Hopefully they didn't re-gift you. And you'll open the gift, and when you do, you realize someone cared enough to go out and fight the crowds and provide you a gift and purchase it and give it to you. You'll have something you will receive that someone else paid for. I guarantee you there'll be a heart of appreciation and gratitude for what it was. Hopefully, anyway. God's provided for us the unspeakable gift of his Son Don't you see you need to know him as your Savior today? Say, I already know Christ as my Savior. Good. Then don't you need to know, don't you understand, you need to accept his pattern and example. We don't get our rights and privileges. Not in every case and not in every way. I know people, they're still waiting, bemoaning a lost childhood. So Pastor Johnson, you talk about your childhood. When I preach, I never sit around and think about it much. Why? First of all, it wasn't pleasant. Why think on something that was so awful? Secondly, that's under the blood. That's my past. That's not my present, and praise God, it's not my future. But you know something, people, the truth is, as a Christian, does it have to be my way to be right? Huh? Or can I come to accept the fact that sometimes for the greater good of things, what God wants, I set aside what I want for what others need? Don't lose it in the face of that baby in that manger in Bethlehem. Don't lose that now, Christian. You look there and remind yourself, he did that. He was willing to become a baby for me and a child for me and a young person. And he was willing to do all of that and set aside all of his rights and privileges. I suppose I could go a little extra for him. I could probably do a little more for him with my life. I could probably be a little more serious about my Christian life and my walk. Made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He who was served now spent his days on this earth as the greatest of all servants. Christmas time. Oh, yes. It's beautiful. Manger scenes, as long as the ACLU doesn't see it. Manger scenes. Time for us to rejoice Jesus came to be with us. And also time to remind ourselves the Word became flesh. God so loved you. And he was willing to give up all that for you. Can't you do something for him? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.